everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is the Beverly Hills 90210 secondary character Thunderdome. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Dave.
Hello.
We are here to take a break between seasons 4 and 5 to bring you something a little bit special, which we will get into in just a second. But first, we want to tell you what's coming up on the Patreon. Again with this, episode 85 is dropping February 25th. Let's watch Shannen Doherty and Daniel Cosgrove, who knew, in...
Oh, good for him.
Satan's School for Girls. This is on YouTube. We'll link it in the show notes. And you can hear us discuss that this Friday if you become a Patreon, patreon.com/againwiththis for that and the previous 84 episodes we have done.
All supported and made possible by our Patreon supporters. Thank you so much.
Yes.
But this is for everybody. This is, you know, limb rending and bloodshed. It's
right.
Thunderdome.
Dun-dun-dun.
Let me explain how this works in case you're not familiar slash you haven't heard us do one of these before. But P.S. if you haven't, you should go back in the Extra Hot Great archives. We've done a bunch. They're super fun. Smurfs. Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
Yep.
Anyway, here's how it works. We take a whole whack of kinds of characters, TV concepts, cast members of shows, et cetera, and so on, and make a list of all the ones that will be entering the Thunderdome, which they do in groups of three. Mm-hmm. We discuss the merits of each threesome, teehee threesome. We decide who is going to survive. That survivor proceeds to the next round.
Yes, in a battle to the death. Yeah.
Yes. This continues until a champion is crowned. Often we start with, I mean, it's always multiples of three. We decided to try to control ourselves this time.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us nominated 9 legendary secondary characters from the legendary zip code, mm-hmm, for a total of 18.
Yeah.
This keeps the, you know, runtime of this episode down, but also lets us revive the concept in the future. We will also be doing it with like legendary props. I mean, this will come back. Mm-hmm. The list was randomized on random.org 10 times to make sure that it was fair and that like family members weren't in against each other.
Mm.
But yes, we will start with 18 in groups of 3. We're going to see who comes out on top. Should I read the entire list or should
let's just get through it. But so yes, it's going to be, we'll start with the 6 rounds that those 6 will proceed through 3 more battles. And then that gets us down to 2 in our very final face off.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we begin?
Round 1.
Our combatants are Mrs. Teasley, Professor Corey Randall, and Emma,
mm-hmm,
the sex and love columnist with whom Brandon cheated in season 8.
Yes.
This is, I think this is kind of a gimme to start with, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Corey Randall couldn't even defeat Brandon and Steve in a like quote courtroom plagiarism proceeding, and
that's
he was like double cucked by undergrads.
Uh-huh.
I mean, technically, that's not true. I guess he and Mrs. Corey had it. Dina Meyer had, mm-hmm, an arrangement,
mm-hmm,
but in retrospect, it seems like only she thought they had an arrangement, and he was totally
right.
Unaware.
Mm-hmm.
Emma was fucking annoying,
mm-hmm,
and Emma, like, nobody's going to be any match for Mrs. Teasley.
No, it's true.
Whose amazing shoulder pads, beautiful French manicures, and drop-dead glares in the direction of one Steve Sanders are lethal.
Yeah.
Plus, the shoulder pads alone, I think, insulate her from a lot of physical harm. And I just don't think Emma is much of a fighter. I think she's, like, trying to, you know, be Carrie Bradshaw. And will get wanged in the head with her laptop and killed. And Corey Randall, whatever.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I agree with you. I mean, you've already said Mrs. Teasley's glare is going to be lethal. That might be all she needs to defeat her combatants. But I think, since you also brought up the shoulder pads, in addition to insulating her, she could use them to smother In fact, yes, both of her opponents at the same time just mm-hmm. crush them in their faces.
One pet each.
Spread them. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, this is the logical outcome, but it's also the outcome that we personally want. I mean, you bring up a great point with the school court. Corey Randall just not even having his evidence in order for that event that he created. Yeah. Just tells you he's not going to be adequately prepared for something like this either. If he can't stand up for in a verbal spat, he's not going to be able to stand up in a physical battle. So yeah, Mrs. Teasley, absolutely for the win.
I concur. Moving on. Oh boy. John Sears. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, the virginity taker, yep, from early in season one, mm-hmm, and Grandma Rose, Mark One.
Mm-hmm. That was my submission. I just wanted to make the distinction between Lainey Kazan and whatever the name was of the lady who replaced her.
The lost one who called history. Janice very well spoken. Yeah, let's yeah, not deal with that. Why don't you begin our discussion?
I shall. Again, this is a really unfair battle. I mean, I want to believe Grandma Rose could, you know, scoop up the tail of her caftan and strangle someone with it. And let's say that's what happens to Cheryl, because Cheryl is trifling. I mean, she screwed around on Brandon, or at least, you know, had sex with someone else, did not let him know that they were not both virgins when the great event happened. He even strained the pulp, as we all recall. But she's, you know, she tried to get it off with Dylan. Like, she's not thinking through her strategy. She could have had something good long-term with Brandon. He was, you know, ridiculous enough to try to hook it up with her. Is that a better choice? I mean, who's to say? The main issue here is that she's tiny and a teenager and dumb. And she may have escaped her parents' house. That doesn't mean she's going to escape Thunderdome. So even if, let's say, Grandma Rose chokes her out with a caftan, John Sears is John Sears. He's, as we have said many times about Bobby, also applies to John. He is a large, wide, tall man. He's a door. And we also have the advantage of having seen him in physical combat on the show at the Spring Carnival, standing over a tub full of mud, battling people with padded, you know, sticks or whatever the hell they had, jousting some kind of a bow.
Yeah, those big, like, mm-hmm, yeah, Q-tip looking things. Yeah.
Yes. The only thing that derailed him from defeating Steve was three ladies standing ringside showing him their matching Victoria's Secret bras. That's not going to happen in Thunderdome. This is serious business. So it's John Sears for the win, in my opinion.
Here's the thing. I don't think that's not going to happen, because mm-hmm, I think, first of all, Cheryl is a little bit crazy, and mm-hmm, that can provide reserves of strength. I concur that she is teeny, but mm-hmm, she is teeny. She is a teenager, and we know that what John Sears likes is a teeny teenager. Mm. That's disgusting, but mm-hmm, Cheryl could use that to her advantage.
Okay.
Ensorcel him.
Right.
With her satin Victoria's Secret gitch.
Sure.
And then Grandma Rose sneaks up and garrotes him with her caftan.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's down to Cheryl and Lainey Kazan and, sorry, Cheryl. So I think there is a path to victory for a lady in mm-hmm, this matchup.
Okay.
If they have time to, like, get a plan of like this in motion before John Sears just steps on them both and kills them.
Right.
And I just don't think that's very likely. I mean, I just, like, if John Sears were Billy, I would give them the edge in
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
But he'd just be standing there like, and they could have their way with him. But it's John Sears. He is a three-bedroom, and I think you're right. I think it's John Sears.
Yeah. I mean, you could almost say, like, there's an argument to be made where, like, he wouldn't fight a woman, but he clearly would. He's John Sears.
Yeah, he would.
All right.
All right. Our next matchup is Ariel, who de-virginized David Silver. Deshaun Hardell, who owns all our hearts and the basketball court. And Samantha Sanders, mother of Steve and sitcom actress extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. Unless Ariel is planning to weaponize pubic lice, I don't think she has a shot here. She is played by Kari Wuerr, who is very beautiful, but also wee. She is most famously seen in one of those like faux collar and cuffs sweater dresses. Mm-hmm. The cuffs look very pointy.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's a ninja. I think she's just a assistant record company VP trying to get ahead. In this world, and doesn't have access to reproductive health care that she should, apparently. So I think she's not a factor. Mm-hmm. Samantha Sanders does seem like she could kill someone with her eyes.
Yeah.
And she could try to do that to Deshaun. But Deshaun could either charm her into like charm paralyze her while wearing that Globetrotters outfit, which still like cavorts in the halls of my dreams. I love it so much.
Yes.
And he could go that way, or he could just overhand whip a basketball at her head and knock it clean off. This was a D1 recruit. Maybe this is just my heart talking, but I think it's Deshaun. I'm interested to hear what you think.
I would love to give it to Samantha only so that we can potentially see her versus Mrs. Teasley in a future round, because I think that would be challenging. But you're right. Yeah. Deshaun is an athlete. So in addition to being strong, he's going to also be fast. So whatever, even if you say Ariel doesn't have the size, perhaps she has speed. She certainly sped her way into David's heart very quickly after meeting him.
Yeah. And apparently an extremely high tolerance for pain, since she saw him wearing only a vest and still decided that she wanted to ride that like a pony.
That's right.
Why, Ariel? Explain yourself.
She's not going to be faster than Deshaun, and she's like the size of one of his legs. Mm-hmm. So she's not a factor. So Deshaun versus Hardell. See, this Deshaun versus Samantha. This is where we have to ask, would Deshaun fight a lady? That's my only hang up, where he has a twin sister.
He has a twin sister, and I think that he would be perhaps more desensitized to that concept than some.
Or
maybe, I don't know.
Or would just approach this as like the way he would approach any other athletic contest and just say, this is the game, I'm going to play the game according to its rules. So, all right, you convince me. So Deshaun wins this battle.
I mean, he does have that injury, but I still think he can pull it out.
Well, he bounced back from that. Yeah,
he did.
That was only a season 4 thing. And then as far as we know, after that, when he returned to the show, he was playing again. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, round 4. We've got Suzanne of the Scamily, cousin Bobby, and crazy Laura Kingman. I have a lot of thoughts and I can't organize them at all. So you talk for a while and tell me what I should think.
Okay. Cousin Bobby, as we recall, is the one who was injured. He was paralyzed in a skiing accident. It's not funny. I mean, it's funny. He's a fictional character.
The way
it's okay
they describe it on the show is inadvertently hilarious.
It is.
And I have never forgiven them for making me laugh about it many times.
It's true. And they obviously felt bad about it because they brought this actor back to be Danny Five, the drug dealer, in later seasons. So maybe we think that, you know, we're given to understand he's very athletic. We see him playing basketball. That's his like first introduction on the show. So he's strong. This could be a murder ball situation. I'm not counting him out.
Yes, he does use a wheelchair, we should say. But
yes.
That's upper body strength. So
that's
for
right.
Sure.
Laura, I mean, you talked about Cheryl being crazy. Laura is actually crazy. I mean, made a scene at the theater, threatened to hang herself from the rafters. She is clearly capable of anything. And this was, by the way, in pursuit of the role that she wanted, where she was willing to do whatever it took. She understands the drive to win. Mm-hmm. But so does Suzanne.
Yes.
Like, at the end of her plot line, we're given to understand, like, got herself arrested and apparently didn't tell anyone, oh, by the way, there's a minor child in the house. Maybe go check that she's okay. Mm. You know, yeah. Just eyes on the prize for this one, too. So, boy, this is our hardest matchup yet.
This is tough.
I mean, given what we know about Thunderdome, which is it is a dome, there is a mm-hmm. cover on it, you can climb up it. I'm, for this reason, almost alone, because I think these are three very strong combatants. I'm going to give it to Laura because we know she can climb. Laura is going to get the jump on her opponents from a height. She's going to use the three dimensions of the space. She's going to do her space work. She is an actor.
And she is not afraid, I think, to die in the service of killing someone else. Like,
That's right.
Just is not, like, there's no fear.
That's right. So, Laura is my pick to win in this matchup.
I agree. I mean, Suzanne is not to be, neither of her opponents is to be trifled with. But right. I think Suzanne is enough of a sort of cerebral long con person that while she is figuring out a way to kind of play on the sympathies of the others, Laura will be halfway up the side of the fucking dome already.
That's right.
And as Suzanne is like kind of doing the, like laying out the turn for cousin Bobby, mm-hmm. Laura's going to land on them both with a like sandbag under each arm.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like close in ground fighting, Bobby's in the conversation, but I think you're absolutely right. Laura climbs, Laura jumps, everybody else dies. Laura Kingman.
Yeah. All right. She's also a dancer. I didn't even mention that part. So she's very physically agile.
Mm-hmm.
We know that too.
Okay, round five. Jack McKay, Felix, aka the It Sucks Kid, and fucking Erica. Mm. Also of the Scamily and of having way too much hair and being perhaps somewhat delayed in certain aspects of her development.
Okay, so this is original Erica. It's not later seasons lived on the street sex worker Erica, who is played by a different actor. I mean, I know they're the same character, but like.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. I mean, I think you can, if you want, take the entire breadth of the character.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But that does, here's the complication. I think Felix maybe is out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, ordinarily I'd be like, oh, it's Jack McKay. Erica is incompetent at being alive, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
She could annoy the other two to death, but like it, you know, here's the conflict. Apparently, Erica is Jack McKay's kid, but it was never established to my satisfaction either that was in fact genetically true, canonically true and not part of the mm-hmm. scam.
Yeah.
Even if it were true, I'm not convinced Jack gave shit one.
No.
So I think that Erica could try to appeal to Jack's paternal feeling, but this would fail.
Yeah.
If it worked, Felix has a chance to, like, the two of them would both take a knee, and Felix is like, well, fuck you, knocks their heads together, and then Felix comes out of it.
Yeah.
Is Jack ruthless enough to kill not one, but two children, one of whom's mother is claiming that the child is his child?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Mm. However, there is yet one more factor to consider, and
here
it
we
is
go.
This.
Yep, here we go.
The giant pants.
Yep.
Worn
if you hadn't
by
brought
Mr.
it up,
Jack
I would
McKay.
Have.
Yeah. I mean, could they hide in his pants like Paula Chanel's and wreak havoc that way?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Erica is not smart enough to think of that.
Yeah.
Felix, I think, is not eating well enough to be thinking clearly as suggested by the show. I think Jack McKay probably accidentally flaps them both to death with a pant leg, just entering the arena and doesn't even have to do anything. This is a really hard one to envision, and it involves the murders of children. Mm-hmm. But I think it's Jack McKay because of the pants.
The pants, for sure. I mean, if we're saying that Grandma Rose could use her caftan as a weapon, we certainly have to say that about the pants. But I would also add, with regard to Jack McKay, he's done time. Like, was it hard time?
True.
No, he was in a white-collar prison, presumably. But I still think he probably picked up a thing or two. Like, that's not a pleasant place to be. I'm sure he, you know, had to stand his ground here or there in terms of, you know, in disputes. And he is sufficiently ruthless that in order to preserve his own life, he faked his death and remained fake dead for years, like almost a decade before we reconnect with him. Like, it's been a long, long time. He has minimum one, possibly two children who are out in the world thinking he's dead. He does not give a fuck. Like, he is committed enough to his own self-preservation to maintain that lie for a long time. So Jack, more so than either of these other two, understands the value of maintaining his life at any cost. It is certainly Jack.
I think so. And finally, Reek, as played by Superman.
Yep.
Jackie Taylor.
Right.
And Charisse Ashe. As played by
Vivica Fox. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you have an instinct?
Let me start this off by saying, The one instance where a John Sears shaped person, who is Reek in this case, is not going to win is when he's against Jackie Taylor and Charisse Ashe. Okay? Because what's going to happen is the two of them are going to short term just double team him. Neither of these ladies is going to be scared of this guy, regardless of his size. They're gonna count two of them, one of him. They're gonna take him down. He's down for the count because they understand strategy. They are street smart. They know how to get through this, and it's gonna be by using their door knocker earrings, jam them in his eyes, jam them wherever they can jam them, and take him down. So then it becomes Jackie versus Charisse, and let's assume this is sober Jackie. This isn't Jackie with coke strength. This is the Jackie that we come to know post Perfect Mom, her one moment of her slip. Sheesh. This is hard. I'm going to give it to Jackie only because she has mom strength. She knows she has to survive for the sake of Kelly, her useless child. Kelly is going to continue needing advice. And perhaps this is post Aaron as well. I think Jackie's going to tear Charisse limb from limb. It's going to be a fair fight. Charisse is going to battle back. Charisse has no problem, you know, getting into verbal spats with even her intimidating, authoritative papa. But Jackie,
shut your mouth.
Jackie's going to have that adrenaline, and Jackie, I think, is going to defeat Charisse. What do you think?
I think the early part of the round plays out like you said, and I don't think it's going to require much in the way of a double team. I said in our podcast and our book about Reek that for him to fall for this accent, means that he's like one concussion short of that last one that just breaks everything. So I think taking off one earring and belaboring him in the cranium with it, it will not take long. I know he's big. I know he's muscular.
Yeah.
I know he was Superman. Mm-hmm. He's out of it in like 90 seconds.
Right.
Then it's down to Jackie and Charisse. I think this is closer than you think it is. And mm-hmm. but yeah, mom strength or Coke strength, I think. And I think Jackie also has those like tie neck
uh-huh.
blouses, and yeah. they're very voluminous. So if Charisse tries an arm grab, she can kind of slide out with that slippery silk look polyester and then like get the blouse tie around the neck, and then it's game over. So mm-hmm. I'm actually a little surprised, because when you first look at this group of three, it's like, oh, it's not Jackie.
Yeah.
But I think it is Jackie.
Yeah. If Charisse were allowed her car, it's a different mm-hmm. story, because we know Ooh. she's a demon behind the wheel, but, she's as far as we know, they don't. So I got to give this to Jackie for sure.
Mm.
Okay.
All right. That's the end of the first round. Now we are in our semifinal.
That's right.
The first round of that is, oh God, I hate this now. Mrs. Teasley, John Sears, and Deshaun Hardell. This, oh God, I mean, the pain. Like, here we go. Deshaun is an athlete, functionally a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag pay the players in the NCAA.
That's right.
John Sears is, I think, also an athlete intramural, but mm-hmm. A sociopath, does not fear, has no fear of death, and does not really feel pain as much as other people.
Right.
And he's like half again as big as Cress Williams.
That's right.
Paul mm-hmm. Johansson is.
Yep.
And then you have Mrs. Teasley, who is not going to fucking have it from either of them. So I absolutely don't know what's going to happen. Here is what I think. I think that Deshaun is neither big enough nor mean enough to survive here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Mrs. Teasley would try to glare both of them to death, and only Deshaun would be chastened enough by the glaring. And he'd
yes.
be like, ooh. And then he'll be killed.
Right.
So as much as I love him, he's too good for this world. Mm-hmm. And then it's Teasley versus Sears. And I just don't know how that goes, because he does not give a shit. He has no feelings.
He has no shame.
Yep. Is terrible. And he is, you know, zoned for light manufacturing. So here's the problem. As much as I believe in Mrs. Teasley mm-hmm. and the power of her glare,
yeah.
I think it only works on people with souls. John mm-hmm. Sears does not qualify. With so much respect and honor for our fallen brethren and sistren, I'm sad to say John Sears is the victor here. Do you agree?
Well, I agree with you about Deshaun. He's going to be hobbled by the circumstances. Mm-hmm. So let's leave him to the side, as it were.
Okay.
The question about Mrs. Teasley versus John Sears, I certainly agree with you that he is a sociopath. And so, you know, appeals to emotion are not going to work on him. But do we consider, if Jackie Taylor has mom strength, so does Mrs. Teasley, in the sense that she is a mother figure, not okay. just to Kelly and possibly Aaron, depending on when this is happening. She is a mother figure to possibly multiple thousands of kids at West Beverly mm-hmm. High. They really need her, and she takes that responsibility.
And she's still going to have those long nails and the shoulder pads in this
that's
round.
Right.
She was not stripped of those.
No, that's right. And so I think she is going to do what it takes to survive for her kids, not biologically her kids, but kids that she is charged to be responsible for in a very real sense. Kids who have real problems. Sarah, Donna Martin had a learning disability of some kind we never understood or were told. That's
yeah.
just one example.
She also smoked once.
That's the same episode. It was a rough one.
Yeah, it was.
So,
yeah.
you know, John Sears is going to come at her. He doesn't care, but she, I think, is going to climb him like a tree and just end him. Have I convinced you? One of us has to back down.
I know. One of us does. Mm. I mean, I think I'm going to cede the field to this wow. point, and not just because I don't want John Sears in this fucking final because he sucks. don't be trying to get on Rayanne. That's bullshit. But mm-hmm. I think that we did see that eventually, if like the entire fraternity house is arrayed against John Sears, that he will fuck off.
Yeah.
And I think eventually he would back down. I mm-hmm. don't, I'm not sure there is a circumstance in which Mrs. Teasley would back down. Yeah. So, I don't know for a fact that it goes this way. And, we urge you to let us know in the comments and on Twitter mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. AWT90210 if we made yep. the wrong choice, but yeah, yeah, let's send Teasley into the final.
Okay.
Oh boy. All right. we got crazy climby Laura.
Yep.
Jack McKay and pants mm-hmm. and Jackie Taylor and mom strength stabby earring blouse tie
yeah.
situation.
Boy. These are truly three titans of the Thunderdome. I mean, credit to all three because
yes.
This is a tough, tough matchup. I think Jack, again, I think Jack is defeated for the same reason Reek is defeated. I think Laura and Jackie are going to end up double teaming him because they have blonde solidarity, and that is not to be trifled with. That is a serious business. He's also blonde, but he's a man. It's not the same. They have blonde with an E solidarity. Mm-hmm. And you know, his pants, they're not going to impress these two ladies. These two ladies have been through it. So let's say they defeat Jack. I'm going to leave the Jack is not a factor. So Laura versus Jackie. It's mom versus crazy. And I think I gotta give it to crazy. It's so hard, but I just think, you know, Laura is so unpredictable. Like Jackie is going to be strong. She's going to stand in her truth. She's going to, you know, do all of the things we expect a great mom like Jackie to do. But Laura is just, she's like a whirling dervish. You do not know what she's going to do. And she is truly capable of anything. So for me, it's Laura.
I am arriving there via somewhat different means,
okay.
But hear me out.
I'm listening.
Jack comes, you know, pantsing into the dome. Yep. Jackie, despite her best efforts to cut herself out of the nautical miles of fabric now surrounding her and threatening to crush her to death using one of her earrings, fails.
Okay.
Laura, as we've established, good at climbing. She waits for a massive pant leg to pass over her and then climbs up the inside of the out seam, crawls around to the scrotum
yeah.
with a fucking knife clenched in her teeth and the rest, as they say, is history.
That's right.
He timber and then using the same knife, she cuts her way out of the pants. It's like fucking Carrie. She's in that nighty costume from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, but she's covered in gore and panting. The fact that this has to go against Teasley in our final round is fucking terrifying.
It is.
But I agree. Laura will find a way. Laura will find a way.
Well, here we are at the end of all things.
Teasley versus Kingman.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I think happens. I think Teasley, for all the reasons previously stated, uses that maternal authority figure appeal to Goodwill Hunting Laura. Get her to drop her weapons. It's not your fault. You deserve the role. It's not your fault. You deserve the role. Steve should have gotten affirmative consent. I believe you. Cut, like, let's hug it out.
Brenda did do Laura's shenanigans.
Yep. And then she snaps Laura's neck.
Yeah. This is
for everyone's safety. She hates to do it, and she carries it with her for the rest of her life.
I agree. My thinking when I came into this was less like she subdues Laura then kills her. I thought it would be she uses her guidance counselor skills to counsel Laura to surrender. But
one of them's got to die. So
that's right. You're right. And I think, yeah,
she'll be weeping, but as she does
will.
It.
She will.
It's not going to be like Angel where he's like just gleefully doing it, but. That's right. Teasley the Laura Slayer, I think, is the scenario.
Yeah, she retires this sensible matching pantsuit and just keeps it as a grim reminder in the back of her closet of what she was willing to do for the sake of the community.
And then as penance, she enters the healing arts, and we next see her in the emergency room on the West Wing when Bartlett is brought in. It's all the circle of Teasley.
My God. Well, we started with 18. We ended up with our number one option, and I feel like this is exactly what had to happen, what should happen, what was this was the right result.
Yeah. I mean, if we randomized it again, I wonder if it would turn out the same way, but I think it probably would. Like different paths, but always arriving at the one true Teasley.
Bathed in the blood of her enemies.